One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I can't start this show now because of you, because I just hear, how'd you like to get a dick on Fuckboy Island? That needs to be the theme song. Y'all, we talked about a theme. If we're ever going to be together and do a season two, we got to do that as the theme song. We just have to.
Y'all, this is Fuckboy Island. How'd you like to spend a good dick, a bang trip on Fuckboy Island? How'd you like to spend a bang trip on Fuckboy Island? Y'all, this is episode 2. I did not write down the episode name.
Oh, I can tell you. I can tell you, Queen. It's called You've Got Mail.
You've got mail. I remember mail. Now. M-A-L-E.
Boy, y'all, I know we've said this, but I don't know where they plucked these men from, but
they're not very hot.
Like that one point, not Surf Jesus, but he reminds me of the curly headed guy who seems like
Adam.
The guy who moves fridges.
Yeah. Fuckboy. I'm a fridge boy.
He's talking about another guy, and he's talking about I mean, I understand why she likes him. I mean, look at his body. I can't compete with that. And I went, you have an 8-pack.
Yeah. I think what's different, though, about these men is they don't feel like bachelor cookie cutter or bachelorette cookie cutter guys.
No, agreed.
There's not a print modeling look to a lot of them.
Yeah,
they have.
Agreed.
I think that's what it is. They don't look like JCPenney catalog-ish.
Wow.
Yeah, that's dating myself.
That's very specific because I have masturbated to the underwear section of the JCPenney catalog.
Isn't it dead on because bachelorette men look like JCPenney catalog boys?
That is one of the most accurate descriptions you've ever said on this show.
But they do. And none of these boys, men, guys, F-boys,
none
of them really look that way. They're all handsome, but I think the casting is great.
Oh, so do I.
It is. It's the opposite of kind of neutered, normal kind of like hiring hot guys.
Yes, and yeah. Speaking of y'all, just to tease, we might be having some of them on the podcast. We'll let you know.
We have not even put offers out, so please don't tease something.
Cameron needs to be on our show. He is so hot. And did you notice?
His personality is like white rice, though.
But did you see that he's a real estate man and an exotic dancer?
Yes. I like that slash. It compares with retired hostess.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to see her anymore.
No, never again. Bye, Bree. We will never cover you again.
Her husband
messed
that up. Okay, y'all, so this is part 2. We're going to jump into it.
Episode 2.
I just want to say real quick, y'all, I have moved things. We're remote, but Goat, I am now, I'm in Nashville.
Hovering somewhere over the U.S.
Yes.
In a dirigible. We can say that word more. Dirigible. Dirigible.
Is that one of those like balloon things that you pedal on a bike?
I think it's the same thing as a Zeppelin or a blimp.
Not familiar.
Or a blimp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what I've learned about, I'm over kind of by Vanderbilt, beautiful part of Nashville, but I've learned, I think.
Because this week you're at Podcast Movement.
I'm at Podcast Movement. I'm working at Podcast Movement. And so.
We don't want everything. You're just COVID partying.
Yeah, I'm not. But there are bachelorette parties just going by frequently in bus. So if y'all hear, and maybe a siren, that's what it is. So bear with us.
I can see his cock. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Why is Nashville a destination for bachelorette parties? I guess any big city.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. So y'all, let's go to Nice Guy Grotto, shall we?
No, first it's Limbra. Oh, it is. Oh, starts at Nice Guy Grotto.
It's kind of both. It starts at Nice Guy Grotto. Y'all, Andrew and Garrett are, we didn't know, you mentioned it, but that we see Nice Guy Grotto for the first time.
Yeah.
And they're, Andrew and Garrett are laying out and they're like, what do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't know.
God, so many gay porns that I've started this way.
it's true.
Especially this one. I know what I want for dinner. Your cock.
Your cock. Your meaty man meat.
And so they're like, what do you want? Lobster, fish. And then I put this on my Insta story. I taped it. I thought it was a secret scene. And then I'm like, oh no, this is actual footage.
And, like you and, thought you were hallucinating.
Yes. And the guy actually eats the grapes. And he's like,
Garrett feeds Andrew grapes. And y'all also, I just want to add before, I want you to finish what you're saying, but have you noticed their bodies are always oiled up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Always
oiled up. Other guys aren't, but they're oiled up. So, yeah. So he feeds the grape and then.
So they had to oil one another up, probably. I know. That's hot, folks. Y'all, the whole show has a homoerotic vibe that I generally enjoy.
I do enjoy.
Yeah. I think the show is mostly made for women and gay men and women who like gay men, which is our market. So
it's our market. Meanwhile, Peter's in limbo trying to open coconuts, and it's hysterical.
He is comical. He's an F-boy, but I enjoy him. He's about to go castaway.
Yeah, he's dressed all like kind of Indiana Jones chic, but shirtless.
Yeah.
And so Nikki walks in and she's like, hello, Peter. And she's like, welcome to Limbro.
Limbro.
Where y'all, the branding for this show is on point.
Yeah. They don't let anything go. They don't let anything go. The only problem was instead of F by, it needs to be F off. F boy, F off.
I know.
I know why they did it. They probably can't say it.
They probably can't say it. And also, I think knowing Nikki Glaser, I think she wanted to make a ridiculous goodbye because all these dating reality shows have to have this kind of ridiculous, stupid way of saying goodbye to someone. And I think she was like, what sounds stupid? F by. That makes no sense.
You know, you're
sense.
Right. She does. She does deliver it very seriously. Yeah, I think you're right. So she tells Peter, Peter. Like, so you can this is here your time to work on yourself. She's like, you know what? That's not true. You can work on yourself if you want. It doesn't really affect me in any way. So, and there he's like, so you can go back to playing with yourself. And she leaves him. And the girls are discussing the eliminations that they just had.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that they will have. And they're talking
Sarah's
about.
Like, I'm going to sniff out all the F-boys. I'm like, oh, honey, I don't think you are.
Who?
Sarah. She's
I thought
my strategy.
Sarah.
Yeah.
I think the only one who knows, who has a good F-boy button is CJ. Nakia and Sarah are just babes in the woods.
They are dickmatized babes in the woods. Yeah. And I think CJ is the smartest person on this show.
She is. She is. And Chris is talking with the boys. Or Charlie, the French trainer, is like, I look like an if boy. But I am not. I'm actually a nice guy. And Chris is saying, talking to them, I like CJ's cold-blooded. She's got fangs. Yo, he's a douchebag, and I would beg for it.
He's very hot.
Terrible taste in men.
He's very hot, and he's such a... He's a more obvious fuckboy to me than
Garrett. Oh, yeah. He's a huge fuckboy. I'm surprised he hasn't said it yet.
Me too. But what's... we're going to see how the interesting thing about that. So, the girls are talking, and CJ is like saying, you thought Colin was a nice guy, but she says Colin looks like a guy that has two phones. And then Nakia said, but I have two phones. And then I went, and here we are.
Y'all, Nakia's the one who I think is the most lost. I think
she is.
She gets caught up. Boy, she has a type, and that type is fuckboys. I think Nakia really needs to reevaluate what she's looking for. I wish the girls, not that I'm saying the girls need to be reformed, but almost like Too Hot to Handle, they take the girls through workshops. Maybe they will. This is only episode 2. But Nakia needs a workshop about what she's looking for in a guy.
Yeah, because we see Sarah actually kind of trying to change her instincts. She even talks about that. Nakia's not.
No.
So, but they're like, we're going to get those F-boys out of here. And so the guys are talking. And meanwhile, Division is saying,
that's how I remember it. Division.
Oh, thank you. He says, CJ, she is cutthroat. She's cold-blooded. And Chris is like, yeah, that's why I like her. And he said, this comes back later. He did say that she can't read a book, right?
No, it was, he did not say she cannot read, which is what Chris said. It's kind of like when people say, it's not that I can't read, I choose not to read.
Oh, okay.
Very different. Very, very two different things.
It's not that Poodle and I can't go down on women. We choose not to.
No, I think that's that thing. I don't think we can.
I don't think we can.
No. So,
but not that it's a bad thing. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing.
No. It's just not for us.
Yeah.
I want to say they're talking about this. He basically says that he did say that she's kind of high maintenance, blah, blah, blah.
He did say she's high maintenance.
But he said he doesn't think she's the kind of woman who reads a lot of books. He did say that. He did not say that she can't read. However, it is a low blow for Chris to narc on him in that way. Talk about break and bro code. Wow.
I mean, that's the second time now. It's going to come out, y'all. It's going to come out. I love that the transitions I haven't watched a ton, but I've watched enough. If you haven't watched any of these Bachelor, Too Hot to Handle shows, y'all, they're making fun of all those shows.
Oh, yeah. It's very much tongue in cheek.
Instead of much having like the transitions normally, like on Too Hot to Handle, they're always like hot laying in the sand looking sexy. It has
these bros are kind of dumb jokes.
Doing their muscles and crushing eggs. Like, I want to talk to, I wish the creators gave us the time of day. I would totally interview them.
There's a lot of humor in this.
Yeah, I love it.
And I think using that, like, it doesn't necessarily. Number one, it does lower the stakes a little bit, but it makes the show a lot more fun makes it bearable and takes
it palatable,
the starch out of these people a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
So they are, Nikki is talking to the boys. They're like, a moment of silence for the boys that we have lost. It's like, I said a moment of silence because they won't shut up, of course. And y'all, this, can you help me here with what they said? They're playing dodgeball with water balloons, and but it's three-way. So it's three teams.
It's three teams of dodgeball, not two.
So how do you know, what are the rules? Does one team just attack the other two with water balloons?
Yeah, you're just, everybody's attacking. And I think that's what Nikki, when she said, this is very confusing. And they're just basically throwing shit at everyone.
And I just need to point out that this is not dodgeball. This is just a water balloon fight.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with a ball that bounces.
But dodgeball is popular right now.
Sorry, you're right. I'm just like, this is just a big water balloon. I don't know why we got on teams.
They should have got on teams. One team gets beaten. The other one has to like do, yeah.
But how do they, and I didn't even know who won. I was just.
You know what? This doesn't matter. The semantics of this doesn't matter, Poodle.
I know. I just needed to know who. So all the women are picking the brawniest guys.
Yeah.
The brawniest guys go first, of course. Y'all, this is worse than gym class, what they are doing to these men.
That's true. Sarah picks, her MVP is Jared. Did you know, y'all, Jared, that's the one that,
with the big muscles.
Fridge guy was like, he is fucking ripped. But did you notice when he went and accepted his MVP? Y'all, his dick was just bulging out of his crotch.
I honestly was writing a lot. So I did,
you know
I
what?
Was listening in the
Do
visuals.
The work. Do
I,
the
I'll
work,
need to go
poodle.
Back and look.
But he has just those shorts, you know, that ride up. Y'all, he got a big dick.
It is substantial. I agree with you.
And it's thick. It's kind of thick like the General Sherman tree up in Big Bear. It's just so wide. So wide you could drive a car through it.
The dick? I'm confused.
It was a General Sherman joke because the red.
Oh, okay.
You know what?
Like, no, the General Sherman joke is burning Atlanta.
No. The tree. The tree's called General Sherman.
Wow. I took that to a different place.
It did.
But I guess the tree's named after General Sherman, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyway, who cares? Who gives a shit? So they win. Then there's more stuff. Like the MVPs win the golden conch. I will say they did play the Lakme aria during the fight, which we have performed on occasions. We can't do that because it's never going to sync up.
It's not syncing up. I'm in a hotel room. Someone's going to wonder what's. I can't do the high note anyway.
No. We're going to. I have a hard time singing when we're not together. It's just too hard with the syncing up.
Poor you. I know. It's.
All right. So Jared...
DJ chooses Sean.
Sean. Okay. Lacey from Love Him to Look Up. Sean.
He pronounces it as Sean with a soft CH, but not Sean.
And Nakia chooses Greg.
Greg with the beard.
With that huge beard. Y'all, they all go on dates that night.
She is such a sucker. Obvious that Greg is the biggest fuckboy of them all.
So obvious.
With the way he brushes that beard.
Y'all, he's a fuckboy. And so, but they're talking. She's like, are you a romantic? How do you find love? And he says he wants romance, but he wants someone to be goofy, but he wants someone to be serious, but not too serious. And he wants this.
These are all red flags when you're telling them what you think they want to hear, which is exactly what he's doing.
And then Nakia says, I think we have a lot in common.
Honey.
Yeah. And then, y'all, he says he used to be a club promoter.
And the thing goes, woo, woo, woo.
Fuckboy.
That is the truth. All club promoters are fuckboys. If you're dating a club promoter right now, he is dating four other women.
And he's fucking all of them and bringing something back to you.
Yes. Yes. You. I hope that you're not in a serious relationship with one. Serious, y'all.
Carl?
Carl? There's no way Carl is a club.
We need to talk. That's true. Carl's not a club
promoter. She's probably asked what a club promoter was. Was it someone who's into golf?
Yeah, y'all. Don't. Exactly. Or actually, no, the club that you put on the car.
Yeah.
That's what you think. But y'all, if you think, don't be a Carl's wife. Don't settle down with a club promoter.
No, it's not possible. And then they'll make you really unhappy.
And then beautifully done after that, the editing team went back and found clips of Sarah and CJ dragging guys that are club promoters.
They're like, oh, yeah, club promoters? No. That's never going to work.
Even Sarah's like, yeah, club promoter, never going to happen.
Always and an F-boy.
I died. Died.
You show me a man who's a club promoter who's got a wife and kids, and I'll show you his second family another city.
In another city.
God, I love Lifetime movies. When the woman finds out, oh, second family. Those used to be my favorite. They're very disturbing. But think about how much work would be required to have a second family.
Well, I told you, my dad's dad. They have a whole family in Georgia. He had 17 brothers and sisters. Grandpa, Mom.
Right? But did he spend enough time? Did he split his time in between?
We don't know. My dad doesn't want to talk to any of them.
did he talk about his dad being gone?
I mean, he never talked to them. I think Aunt Darla might have talked to some, or Peggy, my Aunt Peggy might have talked to some of them. Aunt Darla said she's not talking to anybody that came from trash.
Glad that they've worked it out for themselves. Yeah.
So, you know, y'all, Southerners hold a grudge.
Yeah, even for people they'd never met.
Yep.
The next thing is CJ is talking to Sean.
Okay.
And they found out, let's talk about Jared. Jared talking to Sarah.
Okay.
And he full on starts out by asking about her love languages. That's not very F-boy. And he says
it would be if everything else he said was F boy, but it wasn't. So yeah, go right. ahead.
And he says, you know, she said, do you want the white picket fence? And he's honest enough because of F boy would say, oh yeah, totally into all that. Can't wait. And she's like, oh my God, I do too. But he said, yeah, I don't think that's it for me right now. So honesty, you guys, honesty is oftentimes, especially honesty that doesn't feel like they're throwing you out or honesty bombing you, like Garrett, who says, yeah, I was adopted from Russia and my sister's deaf. That's honesty and vulnerability bombing. That's what people do. You need recognize that if a fuckboy is saying, yeah, I was adopted single mom, Peter did that already. Y'all, this is a fuckboy trait.
Yep.
They're going to vulnerability bomb you because they're like, he shared that with me, which Nakia, we already see. That's like a thing for her.
But there is something about Jared. I get a vibe. I get a energy from him. There's just something where I'm like, I don't trust his intentions.
I'm not sold on him either. So CJ is talking to Sean. He was a Chippendale. And she's like, oh, so you love when people objectify. You're objectified. And he's like, no, people objectify me. Very different. He was married for 2.5 years, and we find out, y'all, which is why we feel comfortable, CJ has two dads.
That's y'all.
The sequel to Heather has two mommies.
Yes. She says I have two, and I wrote, shut up. I love you. This is why.
CJ, come on the show. I will ask you to come on the show.
That's why she's so, I think that's why she has this perspective, I think, of kind of being really like sex positive and really like I think she has vulnerabilities, but in the same way, I kind of think CJ just might be super confident about guys because maybe she was raised by two gay dads who just kind of like, I mean, imagine the shit I could tell my daughter of how she could read men to filth. Imagine what you could tell your daughter about dating.
Oh, I she would could, totally Miss Havisham my daughter. I would totally say men will only just sitting there in my white wedding dress waiting for the next thing to happen, covering all the windows.
And if your daughter was that gorgeous, you would teach her to destroy men.
Yes, that's exactly what happened in Great Expectations. Miss Havisham taught Estella to destroy men.
You never
read the book, did you?
halfway through, I got bored. I switched to the narrative of the picture book of Pete's Dragon. Way better.
It's a phenomenal novel, though.
Yeah. Eh.
I've always felt a lot in common with Miss Havisham.
I just think, you know how we originally talked about, I think there's some CJ doesn't like to be vulnerable, and maybe that's being raised by, this sounds stereotypical, but a lot of times men can have more problems with emotions. Maybe.
No, that is proven.
It's not stereotypical.
It's pretty proven.
So maybe that's it for her, but still, I'm like, I don't know. She seems pretty brazen for a good reason. She talks to him. I really like Sean. I think he has a really good energy.
He's a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
I don't think CJ. I think he's too nice for CJ.
Yeah. She needs a little spicy.
She needs someone.
And she's not spicy.
Chair that I'm sitting in is painted and it's very slippery and I keep sliding down in it like I'm drunk. Anyway, sorry, y'all.
That is a very poodle thing to do, to complain about the chair you're sitting in.
I enjoy it. It's just slippery when wet.
Who was that? Was that Def Leppard's album, Slippery When Wet?
Boy, you're really on an 80s rock kick on that.
No, this is totally like me being Rain Man. What was that from? Wapner. Yeah,
so,
today.
So they have that, and then
Sarah talks to Divij,
and she says, "Then he gives me club promoter vibes." She's like,
"He's like, I think he does something. Oh, he's like a manager. He's a talent agent." Y'all, they're fuckboys too. All the straight ones are fuckboys.
Every single talent agent and the gay ones too are fuckboys.
Yeah, they're fuckboys. Yeah.
When they're that young, when they get in their 50s, maybe.
Then they just have open relationships.
Exactly.
I've heard.
Then they just talk about. And so, then CJ ends up talking to Mark. I don't know if Mark is a fuck boy, he has a joke for everything. It's just
I think he's very much a pose. Everything feels very his persona. I wrote down, I'm not sure Mark is there for the right reasons. I get a vibe from him, and it's not a vibe that says I'm interested in women.
You know what? That's the vibe that I get from, who was it that we talked about earlier? The cute guy who, oh crap. Who was it?
I don't know.
Oh, I get that from Jared.
Oh, me? I kind of agree
with you.
That's it.
Now that you said that, I get that from Jared. Oh yep. My God. What if Jared and Mark hook up? Oh my! They would be a beautiful couple.
I will say,
I'm
here
for that.
I don't necessarily think that I don't necessarily think I'm right, but there is a vibe. There's a little bit of a distance that Mark that kind of like disarming humor thing, and the jokes aren't really funny. And it's a desperate need to project some type of kind of masculine thing, but also being friendly. And so we're gonna talk about him later. Y'all, Casey, who's my favorite. Casey's and CJ talk. This is either Casey is a really, really good fuckboy and he's very good at it, or he's a nice guy who is so charming and can't help himself.
I kind of think after this episode, I think he's a good fuckboy.
Yeah, I was gonna say it could be one or the other.
But last episode, I would have told you nice guy, but I think he's
he
a fuck
comes
boy.
Up to her and says, "What's up? I miss you." Y'all.
And she says, "I'm having to share you." And she's like, "You don't like sharing?" And he said, "Not sharing you." And he talks to her exactly how she likes to be spoken to.
Mm-hmm. He's like, "Do you want a tour?" And they are, y'all, they have, of anyone in the house, they have chemistry. I haven't seen her really have chemistry with anyone yet, like him.
Yeah, so they go in and look at his bunk beds, and y'all, it's just, although I called it, CJ said, "Oh my God, I love touring houses." Did I not call? She seemed like somebody on Selling Sunset.
Yep.
So she gets, but y'all, this is just a premise. It's a premise for them to sit on a bunk bed and make out.
Well, the funniest thing is both times.
Which made Poodle go crazy.
Has initiated.
Oh, y'all.
And she sprays her mouth in the confessional and she grabs him and plants one on him and makes out with him.
Exactly. And she's like, she's like, "He's nice. He's confident. He's not cocky." And she kisses him and gets red lipstick, and then cut to in the bathroom. She's rubbing red lipstick off him. And she says, "You can't tell a soul. You can't tell anyone." And she just, before he can even respond, she just kind of drops the handkerchief on the floor and walks out of the bathroom. And I said, "This is a Poodle move."
Oh, yeah. I've learned a lot by women like that, by watching women like that. It is.
I mean, y'all.
I'd also, I know exactly, her type is my type. So that's why, yeah, I know.
You really are CJ. You really, yeah. Very much are.
Yeah.
We're going to talk
about that body.
Ooh, she's gorgeous. We're going to talk about what happened the next morning, but y'all, I'm sliding down in my chair. I need to get situated, and we're going to take a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle? Or is it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, We've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
So we're back. We're back.
Yeah.
We're back. Y'all, it's time for exclusive dates. They should find a way to brand this. They've done so good with branding.
Wait, they actually called them exclusive dates?
Yeah. Which means not taking all comers. Not a Friday night for me.
Wow.
So CJ chooses.
They should call this selective seating.
Just a one-off. This is our one-offs. Single dates.
Single date. Sorry, go ahead.
So CJ goes there and talks to Casey, and she's like, "Where's Mark?" And Casey's like, "Whoa."
Y'all, and this is a poodle Boudreaux move.
This is a strong poodle move.
She wants to remind
big poodle energy.
Yeah, she wants to remind Casey that
he's a number.
She has the power.
Yep.
And that, because what happened is she let him know that she liked him, and she has to remind him that she doesn't like him that much.
Yeah, it's like when someone says, remember when we're like dating. I went, are we?
Wow.
That's a move. Now, most of the time when people go out with me twice, they'll say something like, well, yeah, we're like dating. I was like, no one told me. What?
Y'all,
just to kind of put them a little off their footing.
The man that marries Poodle has a special place in heaven.
He's going to have a lot of work cut out for him, okay?
Think how much he's going to get. Yeah, it's going to be hell on earth, but a special place in heaven.
Oh, yes. She's like, where's Mark? And I think this is a treading water choice. She knows she wants to ask Casey for this second date. She asks resident Hitler youth, Mark.
Yes. What we're finding out with CJ this episode, CJ's playing a game.
She is. She's playing a good game.
And maybe she wants to look for love. Maybe she doesn't. I think almost just as much as CJ wanted to find love, I think CJ wants to find a good game.
Yeah, and I think she's trying to figure out. I think she also is trying to be good TV. They're going to. She and Mark are going to go, and he's like, "Oh, I better go pick out my tux or my three-piece suit or maybe my one-piece suit. Yeah. Can I wear one of your one-piece suits? Possibly a two-piece suit. I don't know what should happen
next." Shut up.
Y'all, if you've ever been on a date with this person who not only jokes are different, one-liners are different, but who has a little play on words for everything and then corrects themselves and then makes it worse, this is intolerable. And I think she thinks it's funny in the beginning. It's not.
I think she thought that like he would calm down. But y'all, they go on the date to look at blowholes, which he can't stop talking about.
CJ sits down with the gentleman and says, "So who's peacocking the most? I want to see your peacock." And of course, who chimes in that
Katy Perry song, she's talking about your dick, y'all.
Yeah, she's talking about dick.
Your cock.
And of course, Chris the narc. Chimes in and says, just throwing him under the bus. Well, because he knows Casey is his biggest competition.
Yes.
The same thing he with Colin. The same exact thing. Yep. It's like, well, Colin's been saying he's been peacocking and blah, blah, blah. And even fuckboy Garrett has an ethical problem. He's like, I'm not going to say anything. He's my boy. Why would they say that? When a fuckboy who has no ethics at all has
a gross POS.
Yeah. And so that's interesting. The next thing is Mark, they're going on there, and Sarah chooses Josh, who I don't even know about. I was like, when did I miss you?
I wrote, he's really cute. Don't remember him, but he is really cute.
And so they go on a date.
They're rum tasting.
We should talk about Mark and CJ's date. I'm sorry.
It was that boring, y'all. I want to sum it up.
He makes a lot of sex jokes that don't really go anywhere.
Yes, and even CJ says he's punching so many jokes, he never shuts up, and I thought he would kind of settle into the date. He does not, y'all, because underneath he really wants to talk about Judy Garland.
I wasn't going to say it.
Well, you said it earlier.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to say it that way.
Anyway, CJ says it's a blot. It's a bit unattractive. And
he wants to talk about the new Gossip Girl.
And she says, he does. And he's like, it's making me feel like somebody I should be friends with and not on a date. I feel
he's got gay best friend vibes. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like he'd be friends with my dad's.
Yeah, right. I think he would fit in really well at one of my dad's parties.
Y'all, yes. So that's when we get to Sarah and Josh, and they're rum tasting.
And she's like, I really know he has a deeper side to him. I can just tell. And y'all, Josh is intelligent. Josh is talking about what he does. He's professional, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, I'm not really a big app person. I'm more of an in real life person. And he says,
what made you choose me? What made you choose me?
Great question.
Yes.
And of course, she's not there with a really good answer. And
she's like, yeah.
I think you're really deep.
Yeah. And she's like, I think it's the most genuine connection. I'm like, okay. And so he says, well, I'm not a big app dater. I'm more of an in real life type of person. He's like, I enjoy the serendipity of it all.
And she went, oh, good word. I will
did you
say.
See that, did you see that movie, Serendipity?
Kate Beckinsale. Oh my God. I love Serendipity in New York.
It's my favorite movie. I once listened to a podcast where these two gay guys read it for filth. But they're wrong.
I think I called it a steaming pile of cow dung.
I called it sucking dippity. That's what I called it.
So he's very normal. He's too normal for this show, I wrote down.
But Sarah, in a way, this is what kind of flipped. I thought, didn't you think Sarah was going to be like, he's nice, but
he's not dangerous like an F-boy. And she said, he does say he'd like to marry his best friend, and she's ready for a more intense type of relationship, and she's waiting for her to kiss him in that moment. And again, Sarah wants to kind of be the passenger on her journey.
She wants to be whisked away.
Yeah. And someone like CJ would just kiss him. CJ would have just kissed Josh.
Or would have given him. Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sarah's not going to do that.
Right.
And so she's kind of waiting, looking at him. She's biting her lip. He's licking her lips.
Yeah. She's like, she's doing everything but semaphore, trying to send him into home.
Just a call.
So, flags. Here, you land here on my strip.
Yeah. So they go back up. But y'all, I'm going to tell you why she's into him. Because he's really fucking hot.
He's hot, but I don't think he's the hottest guy on the island.
No, but he is pretty hot. And
it's a nice penis. You're right.
A nice dick, y'all.
So should we talk about Nakia and Jared?
Big one. Yes.
Y'all, they're jet skiing. And she says a some crack. I couldn't understand it. I rewound it three or four times that she really amused herself at.
She said something like, I'm going to ride something else.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I couldn't. His
dick poodle.
Yeah, I know.
His penis. His pogo stick. His jumping bean.
His wang.
His tostone.
His tostone. His plantain, if you will.
His hot tamale.
I think he says, how do you feel about our connection? Again, these are much better. These are second level. If this guy is a fuckboy, this is a second level fuckboy question. It's not like Garrett or Peter, who's like, tell me about yourself and let me repeat back everything you say.
Well, and he responds with that, said, I've had an experience of being emotionally working on being emotionally. It's hard for me to be emotionally available
because I'm adopted.
Because I was adopted.
I talked about this earlier. That's a vulnerability bomb, y'all. That's a vulnerability bomb.
Information bomb, y'all. Fuck boy all over. And what does Nakia say? It makes me feel
really
so connected
loved it when he opened up to me.
Y'all, it is so clear to me that he's a fuck boy.
I think you're right. I agree. He's in my F boy list now.
It's so clear to me that he is. And so Nakia's like, well, I was raised by my mom on her own. And Nakia said, wait, is there a possibility he could be a nice guy? Because,
no.
And then she, but this is the same.
it's a difference where Sarah's into the nice y'all. It's whether they're nice or F boy, they're going to be into a guy if he's really hot and giving off big dick energy, because Nakia says, I've never seen a nice guy look that good.
So the next thing they're talking, he's talking about, I could give a fuck about stepping on Colin's toes. So again, that's fuck boy energy too.
That's fuck boy energy too.
And Colin is back there saying, I can't trust Jared. And I'm like, dude, why are you worried about those guys?
Why?
When you should be worried about the women who haven't even.
Because Colin's this, an
that guy's
boy.
A dick. Yeah. We shouldn't say it. He's Instagrammed us to come on the show. So
I'd love to talk to him.
But I'm not a fan of his. So we'll see. He won't listen. I won't. Regardless. It's fine.
Wow.
He won't listen. Wow. We haven't said enough about him. A fuckboy only listens to parts that are about them.
Okay.
So, y'all, we're back at Nice Guy Grotto. And the nice guys are watching Peter just try to break open a coconut. And yeah. He's talking to Wilson the volleyball.
Yes.
And I was saying, at one moment, I thought that Garrett was going to put his arm around, what's that guy's name? David, Josh.
Andrew.
Thank you. And just go, do you want to suck dicks? That's what it feels like. We're in paradise, bro.
They are so oiled up.
They are very oiled
It's just, it gives me a semi. And more guys are going to come to Nice Guy Grotto.
Ooh.
The guys, we get a little bit of kind of, it's a little all over the place. The guys are coming back. Anthony's like, oh, I think Josh had a good day. And Matt's like, Matt said, there's this guy, Matt, didn't know we had a Matt. He's a new guy. All the guys are kind of putting in their main focus. But what's really important is Chris says, my main focus is CJ. And then Casey said, well, why are you talking about me to CJ then? And Chris says, what are you talking about? I'm not doing that. And it doesn't really get explained more, because then the ladies show up. And this is at night. And we find out CJ's lost her voice, y'all.
That's what Shocker.
That's what vocal fry does, y'all.
Yeah. She needs a little bit of speech pathology work. I can tell you that. She speaks really low in her chords.
Yeah. And you can't talk very long when you do that.
And this is a thing, you guys. People are going to speech language pathologists all the time because none of us really know how to speak. And the level of short sermon alert, the level of time we spend on kind of quote unquote making our speaking voices is all emotional things that we need and are things that we're trying to make ourselves. And she's decided how she speaks, and they were telling her, speak higher. So she actually, where her voice is made to speak, it should be a little higher and more lilting. But something happened in the 80s and 90s where women took their voices way down.
No, well, that, but then the Kardashians happened and everybody thinks that, they think that's sexy.
Right here.
But y'all, when all these women are 70, they're going to have no voice.
Yep, it's true.
They're all going to sound like Kathleen Turner.
Got to take care of your voice. I think Kathleen Turner always had a very low voice.
She did, though. She did. So, okay. So, CJ, she's lost her voice, and they're like, okay, well, then the people are just kind of having separate conversations, and Chris and CJ have a conversation.
So, and Chris says, I'm just all focused on, before that, though, Chris is saying, I'm just, with the guys, I'm super focused on CJ. And Casey calls him out, says, yeah, people have been telling me you've been throwing me under the bus and saying I was like being a peacock and stuff like that.
Were you looking at Grindr on your phone? Because I literally just said that.
No, but I was looking at a message I think someone's getting.
From somebody sending you their dick pic?
Maybe.
I literally just said that.
Sorry. You did that earlier. You weren't listening to me and you said something that I just said. I let it go, though, usually.
Gary, roll the tape.
Anyway,
so yes, so CJ, now Chris and CJ are talking.
Yes.
And y'all, and he sit there and CJ literally is like, what do you have for me? Almost like this is
totally
like
an informant.
Because y'all, you know why he's an informant? And I think Chris knows this. He can't be that dumb. If he does it, he's sitting. Y'all, CJ knows he's a fuckboy and she knows she's not going to end up with him. Yeah. So she's going to play him along to be an informant, but she is never going to hook up with him. She might even kiss him down the road to get information, but she's not going to.
And he enjoys fucking stuff up. Which is why he's there.
Yeah.
So later on, you guys, now I think we're at the point where Josh and Sarah are talking and he says, you know, can I?
We should say that Chris does tell her, he says,
Divij. Yeah.
He says, Divij was saying not things are nice about you. That's what he said.
And you can't read.
That you can't read, that you're high maintenance. And she says, true, I am high maintenance. And that she doesn't know how to read. So, yes, she's like, what? So that now we can talk about Sarah and Josh, who they're kind of sitting like on a bench. And he's like, I had a good time today. And meanwhile, y'all, this was a great the way they cut it, because Josh is saying, telling Sarah, he's like, I had a good time today. And Garrett, y'all know, who's trying to play Sarah, said, yeah, I don't see Garrett Sarah into Josh at all.
At all.
I don't think that's going to work out. And then Josh looked at her and said, I was a little shy today, but can I give you a kiss? And she says, yes. And he's a good kisser.
And they, it's like, it's heated.
It is a good kiss.
And she's like, I really don't like them when guys ask me, but I liked it when he did it. So I wrote down.
Do you think he's a nice guy?
I do.
I do. If he is not, standing ovation.
Yeah, I know. He'd be really good. I wrote down, we still don't know half of these guys.
No, we don't.
And the girls are saying something like, we still need them, all these guys, to make an effort. And now it's going to be the eliminations. Nikki is visiting. I got to ask you a question.
Also, they play John Legend. Golly, they spent a lot of money. Show. Yeah.
Have you noticed how good Nikki looks, but the women look like they're wearing rags? Like, it's just the wardrobe choices are awful.
I think the styling they decided to go with on the women, they wanted to go with like boho chic meets beachy.
But it's so tacky beachy. It looks like British reality stars.
Whereas Nikki does look really good.
But the women, it's like you can be beachy without looking like,
You're not going to be beachy. You're never going to be beachy.
You're never going to be beachy.
I can be beachy. I can be beachy.
But you know what I'm talking about? It always looks like they have rags falling off of them.
It is like, it's like Nikki went, they got her outfits at Nordstrom's and they got the rest of the girls at Forever 21.
Yes. Yeah. Where it just feels like a stylist who's like, yep, not slutty enough. Need to slut it up.
Because like the way, I'm all about showing your body if you're confident in it and you want to. But like it barely covers, like,
it's not even
CJ's boobs.
I know what you're talking about
in a weird way.
It's not even that. There's a certain level of taste that none of them really have, and I don't think it's them doing it. I think people are dressing them at that.
Yet in the moments in like the confessionals, they all three look fantastic.
Exactly. It's what they're, and maybe it's what they're being given, but they always look like all their clothes are just hanging off of them. There's little like lacing in everything so you can see. It's like trying to drive all the men wild.
No, men like lacings because then those are things they can take off.
I guess.
How often have you worn something where you were tied up to entice a man?
Every other Sunday. There's something about this elimination look that all of them have, they all look like they're wearing trash bags. It's like boho. CJ says look good. She looks terrible in whatever they're put, that like light blue thing made of scarves.
Doesn't look good.
It looks British. It looks British reality stars.
I get that. Let's get to that, actually. Let's get to the elimination rounds, everybody. So Nikki, CJ is like, Nikki, you can be my voice. Well, first of all, Nikki comes by the villa. Thank you. And Nikki is basically, you know, that's where Nakia, like you said, talked about. Some guys are playing safe and hiding in the background.
Yeah, so they're going to go for that now.
CJ mentions that she's going to think about letting go of Divij
and Chris. And because, CJ, but she says, yeah, I'm going to put Chris up so they think we're not working together.
So they think we're not working together. I think Chris knows all along he's not going home, right?
Yeah, has to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Chris was worried, especially by his reaction. Chris was not worried at all.
Yeah, I don't think we saw that on tape, but
Chris
yeah.
Chris is not a good actor.
No, he is.
You know what he's thinking.
He's a good villain, though.
It's all just distraction. You know what he's thinking, but all the guys are so distracted with all the different guys there and mm-hmm. with the women. They're not noticing him just, I put my hand in here. Yeah. I put my hand in there.
I'm glad we have him. I'm glad he's in the game because he's making it more interesting. Yeah. So also they have.
And you also want him to breed you like a lost
yes.
lamb.
Yes. Stick it in. Wow.
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 So, okay. So let's talk about the eliminations. Let's talk about that night.
So they're basically, CJ comes up. She's not talking. I personally loved Nikki's, she's doing everything in like a she's reading the statement.
She did her voice. She did like a raspier voice of her.
And she's like, Divij, you basically talking about the thinking that she was high maintenance. And he's like, never said it. And not being able to read. And he's just very non-reactive.
He's very
and then Chris. And
Chris. She put Chris. CJ
she's like, you should either
Chris.
Button your shirt or don't button it.
Yeah, she was she's like, a, she said, yeah, you're suspicious.
And that let him know it's he's okay.
She said, you say all the right things, but you don't button your shirt. She said, it makes me suspicious that you have F-boy all over it. Now, and CJ then even says in the moment, she's like, I think it's working. I think people think. Yeah. So now Nakia, she puts up Tariq and Israel. And yeah. so.
Which are two. The Sarah and both Sarah and Nakia are choosing men who they don't think have made effort. That's exactly. where that's both of them are going this
and
week.
That is Nakia's reason. She's like basically tells both of them, you haven't made any effort. Yeah. You're hanging back.
Same with Sarah. Yeah.
Sarah chooses Anthony and Charlie. And she to Charlie, she said, Charlie, I didn't even know who you were. You've been here for like 3 days. To
brutal.
Be
brutal.
This kind of made me respect Sarah a little because I think of her as kind of nice girl and wanting to be mm-hmm. a people pleaser. And when she said this, I was like, okay, I can get on board with this.
What was it?
Ms.
Was it
Sarah?
Was it Finding Prince Charming that one of them said, and frankly, I forgot you were even here. What I show
think,
was it?
I don't. I think it was Finding Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was a terrible show on Logo.
Terrible show. And so she says to Anthony, she says, Anthony, you've been flirting with all of us and like you're keeping options open. And
that's
then,
true. He has been. Yeah.
And y'all, Anthony plays a brilliant, brilliant move when he says, first of all, the way he speaks, there's something kind of very sexual about just the way he speaks. Yeah.
And this is why you have shitty taste in men.
it is. And he says, he even says, you know, I tried to play dodgeball for you. And he said, and I feel like we look sexy together and you got them pretty feet. And hopefully I get to know more about you. Basically, y'all, he just let her know he's freaky deaky in bed and he will fuck your brains out.
I agree. That's his.
And if Poodle and I were Sarah, we would immediately said, safe,
y'all,
safe. That one's staying.
And y'all, he's an F boy. He is an F boy. Yeah. We are. So it's going to be. It looks like. And also, Sarah chooses Anthony and Charlie. You said that right?
Yeah.
You said
uh-huh.
that before.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And Charlie, the French guy. Yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah. Charlie's really,
and.
Yeah.
So they decided who they're going to win. So it's going to be Divij. Israel and Charlie. That's who's going home.
So let's play the game. So we find out, Poodle.
Yeah.
Divij, did you think he was an F-boy?
Yes.
I did too. And y'all,
yep.
He was an F-boy.
Yeah. Yes, very Israel, much. For you.
Total F-boy. That's I believe he was. And
that accent.
What? Yep.
Yep. F-boy.
He was. And then with Charlie.
I said nice guy.
I said nice guy too.
Yeah. We were now. Y'all, he
and
says
so we
nice
thought,
guy.
He's a nice guy. And we went, okay. And then.
Oh, okay. And then.
Nikki, we have several hundreds of hours of footage where he is referring to himself as an F-boy and all the things that he has done to women.
Y'all.
I screamed.
I screamed. This is why, y'all, nominate Nikki Glaser for an Emmy for a host. Because y'all.
These shows never do that, though.
She had to do all of this on the fly. All of this on the fly.
Yeah, she did it.
And she handled it like up. She went after him.
This was great.
She said, she's like, yeah, we have 3 casting tapes where you're admitting you're an F-boy. And
it's like, but no, I'm a nice guy. That was me in a former life. And now, because I had the death of a parent or something like that. My mother died.
Well, he gets to that later.
Vulnerability bombing.
Yeah. Remember when you told us that a woman threw a drink in your face at a restaurant because you were sleeping with her best friend?
And right next to you. And then you realize, and he's like, yes, but I am a nice guy now.
They cut to the footage of him
saying it.
His cats. And then she said, and remember when you said that you were just playing a game and that this is all an elaborate game for you?
And I wrote down the tea, the evidence, all of it, the receipts. I'm living.
And he says, I'm not. I'm a nice guy. And she's like, well, yeah, I wish you, you know, I wish you well.
She's
but
like,
look.
She's like, maybe we were misguided. And
she said, I'm sorry. We were misled. Totally.
And y'all,
like,
Mark's face back there, Mr. Coe, is like, oh my God.
This is more dramatic than that Real Life of Atlanta housewife dinner.
Anyway, so y'all, they all go away. And it looks like Charlie is not even participating in the show anymore.
He quits the show because he's like, and that's where he says, I was an F-boy, but my mother died.
But I am not anymore.
And y'all, that might be true, but the problem is he was cast in a show and he has a part to play in the show and he doesn't want to play the part.
This is the kind of person who will get called difficult and never work again.
Yeah,
that's exactly what this is.
Because it really, I mean, it made for great drama. But y'all, like, they cast him as if like, y'all, if Poodle or I ever get, like, okay, I went in for, this is years ago, Leanne Rimes and Eddie Cibrian had their, I guess they had a reality show. I think it actually aired.
On CMT, and, I think.
And y'all, because a lot of these are cast. And so they wanted me to play their assistant. And they wanted their gay assistant. But they wanted me to be really bitchy gay. Like, they wanted me to be a Poodle when I'm a Maddie. And I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't be that for them because I just didn't want to be that. I didn't want to be that type of person on TV. But this would be like if I said, sure, and I auditioned and I did it.
And then you wouldn't do
it. And then we went on set and I went, I'm a nice guy. No, you guys, the time that producers and casting and all these people put into this stupid guy and then he just shits on their work. It's gross.
This was a moment where you just saw the veil of reality TV crumble.
Yes. Yes.
And I was just like, hey, 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 hey. It was so awesome.
Have you ever seen something like this on reality TV?
No, no.
It was so good.
Anyway, so he obviously walks into the jungle, never to be heard from again. And so, but Divij and Israel are going towards Limbro, And the two lovers are just waving to them, hey, want to come watch Housewives?
And Garrett's like, why are there only two people? I don't know. Pull out your cock. Okay, Andrew.
And y'all.
And meanwhile, Peter.
Peter is so happy to see any of them.
Who knew? Peter, the Tim Conway of reality television theater. He's so funny.
He's built a curl bar. He's probably made his own protein powder out of coconut milk.
He's
got
funny.
A pillow made up of hay.
Y'all, I fucking love this guy.
I'm totally into this concept. I can't wait till Limbro starts its own, like, I can't wait till they start, like, their own, like, government systems, and it turns into Lord of the Flies quick.
Lord of the Limbro. I loved it. This show is good. I cannot be more excited to watch episode 3.
I enjoy the show.
Yeah, we really
I had misgivings with episode 1. I think they're going to hit their stride next episode. The only problems I have are I still don't know the rules. I still don't completely know the rules.
I think it's really telling us, I think it's kind of saying the rules really aren't that important anyway to them in a way.
Yeah.
Which is hard because that so much of these shows that
you live and die by them. Yeah.
You live and die. But I think they're kind of giving the birth to all that.
Yeah, but you need a framework for people to follow. And if you change things up too much, people will get confused.
They will. We'll see if they do that or not.
That's the show, y'all!
That's the show. Y'all, you can go to realitygatespodcast.com and see all of our stuff we got going on. You can find Poodle on Cameo.
Yes.
Find us on Instagram, Reality Gaze Podcast. You can see my reaction to watching this second episode. I was very, very excited, even though I look crazy.
Shocking.
My hair was askew. I've had 3 hours. I looked crazy. That's okay. Y'all,
what's the song on? Oh, yeah, I remember.
Didn't we, isn't it? And remember, y'all, we'll see you next time. F boy. F off.
No, y'all, we'll see you next time. And remember, if you live in the Los Angeles area and you're an F boy, F call us.
F, no, F call me.
You said F call us.
No, F me.
We just fucked up the ending to
the
show.
Come F me.
Come, that was it. If you live in the Los Angeles area and you're an F boy, come F me.
Come F me. That's it.
Boy, that was really hard.
I'm exhausted.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.